today, it's all an attitude of mind. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working on his post, covering finance and property news, and a touch of philosophy on the side. Today, I want to bring you some interviews from Les Brown and Willie Jolly, two international speakers that focus on motivation, and specifically talking about how to move from crisis to opportunity. In fact, they'll both be on a live stream event this coming Sunday, links are below, which is free. But I got a chance to catch up with them, to hear what drives them and how they've moved from crisis to opportunity. So firstly, let's talk to Les. Today I'm joined by Les Brown. Les, great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, Les, I've got a question for you. You know, we're in a bit of a crisis with COVID, and many people experience crises through their lives. The question is, how do we prepare and how do we respond?
Well, first of all, you can't prepare for a crisis because of the fact it just comes and you don't expect it. We could not prepare to the extent that most people think we could prepare because we did not know it was coming. And then when we did have some technology that could tell us that, we had government that was dragging its feet. And so what people have to do who are the victims of ineptness by our government is to begin to realize that crisis means danger, but it also means opportunity. And you look for ways in which you can begin to maximize your potential in spite of what's going on. And so a lot of people, when something happens that they don't expect, going through the kind of storm that we're going through with the coronavirus, it's very important, one, to be mindful of the choices that you make and make choices that will keep you and your family and those that you care about alive. The second thing is moving forward with your life. During the lockdown is a time for reflection, to look at yourself, look at your life, and ask yourself the question, what will be different about me and how I show up coming through this? We will get through this. This has not come to stay. It has come to pass. This is no time to be running around being fearful. You know, Zig Ziglar has an acronym. He says, one is that the majority of people, they look at fear and they face it and they run. There's another group that they face fear and they rise. And so this is the time to rise. This is the time to step up to the plate and become more engaged than you ever had before. Reflecting on your life as it is, rethinking your life and your relationships, and raising the bar on yourself on the goals that you want to achieve and the legacy that you want to leave.
I guess the issue is trying to make that real for people, right? Because essentially, people will be facing probably some issues that they're not used to facing. You know, the normal ways of working, the normal ways of behaving are changed at the moment. So how do you actually go about doing what you've just said? I mean, what's the mental process you have to go through?
You have to go through the process of becoming comfortable with that which is uncomfortable. I don't like the fact that I'm in the house and I'm not going out. I'm 75 years old. I should be able to go anywhere that I want to go. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. It's common sense, but not common practice. There are some people that are being defiant and say, I want my liberty or my death. I would love to sell them some life insurance and let them make me the beneficiary because I'm not going out there. Okay. And so I don't like it, but it's not necessary that I like it. What's necessary is that I'm mindful, that I'm deliberate on the changes that I make in my behavior, that I restrict myself from going around crowds. I'm 75 years old. I'm overcoming fourth stage cancer and type 2 diabetes. So if something happened to me, they look at me, they took me to the hospital and said, you know what? He's 75. He's not going to be here that much longer anyhow. Push him over here. We're not going to waste any better sit on him. So I don't believe in making God work overtime. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to stay in the house eat a lot of rabbit food, get my exercise in, walking in the neighborhood. I keep my mask available. It's right around here somewhere. And riding this out, and that's what we have to do. We have to see it through, because it has not come to stay. As I said, it has come to pass.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned mindfulness, and I'd like to unpack that a bit more, if I may. What are you actually getting at there?
When I get up in the morning, what I'm doing now is I write down 7 things that I'm thankful for. When you wake up in the morning, if you don't have a chalk outline around your body, it's a great day. And we have a lot to be thankful for, all right? And I have an affirmation that I repeat to myself. Lord, whatever I face today, together, you and I can handle it. And I've made the adjustment. I've had to make the adjustment of not traveling, of not flying, or not going to hotels to give a speech or motivate people. I made the adjustment when I got back from Dubai to do all of my work virtually. The computer eliminates geography. So we've gone from talking to butts in the seats to talking and looking at people on a screen. And so that adjustment has been quick and fast and good and profitable, because now I don't have to be on an airplane. Now I can be here with my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, and it's less work on my body. Life is full of changes, and we have to be flexible, adaptable, and versatile, and work and make it work for us as opposed to working against us.
Right. And when you say adapt, I think some people find that very difficult to do. You know, they've sort of fallen into patterns of particular behavior, and they've got particular expectations. So what's the secret to adapting and changing and evolving and hopefully improving?
Exercising your power that you have. See, an alligator can't be anything but an alligator. A horse can't be anything but a horse. Human beings, we can make adjustments. We can adapt. We can be anything that we so desire, and make it okay that you don't like it. It's not necessary that you like it. What's necessary is that you be sensible and do the things that can keep you on the planet. This virus is not to be played with. I've seen a lot of people leave here who didn't take it seriously, and they wish they had. I'm sure when they were going through their illness and loved ones had to come look at them through a window or through one of the computer platforms to say goodbye. That's a horrible way to leave here. And so we have to look at this and say, hey, we're in a new place. This requires an adjustment, new thinking, and how we interact. And raising the goals on ourselves, and also just knowing that we have an expiration date. There are things that I put off. I stopped putting off. I wasn't even close to finishing my book, You've Got to Be Hungry. I finished it because I said, what are the things that I want to get done before I leave here? I'm not going to die with this book in me. So I finished my book, You've Got to Be Hungry, The Greatness Within to Win. I'm working on a global business, a franchise business that I'm leaving for my children and my grandchildren. I'm working on losing weight during this time so I can get a six pack like you. So I'm doing a lot of good things. I come out of here, I got a different hairstyle. There's a movie years ago called House Party. There's a guy in there they call Kid and Play. Well, I got kids' hairstyle. But kids don't like it. I said, ask me, do I care? I'm 75. I can wear an afro if I want to, a flat top. This is my time. I've been here for 3/4 of a century. I'm living life on my terms. So it's really being mindful and doing those things that give you an opportunity to live a life of contribution. Horace Mann said we should be ashamed to die until we've made some major contribution to humankind. So my goal is to teach people how to live a life that will outlive them and how to build a legacy and let their life be an example rather than a warning.
Right. So it seems to me that what you're really saying is you can take control, right? So don't think that you're completely helpless and just sort of bobbing along on the wave of everything that happens. You can take control, but you have to change your mental state to do it.
Yes, and it's not easy, but let me share it with you. If you want to be here, make it easy. Make it work for you. It's hard. And if you do what is easy, and that is come up with excuses of why you can't do it, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. So I don't like wearing the mask every day. I do. I don't like wearing the gloves. I do. I don't like what's going on, but it's not necessary for me to like it. What's necessary is for me to conduct myself in such a way that I don't put myself in harm's way or my family and the people that I care about.
It's great to hear somebody so positive, and looking forward. And I think that's a very important message for everybody who's watching this show. My observation from my own conversations here in Australia, there are many people who are very confused and feel disempowered at the moment. And I think your message is, no, this is an opportunity to become empowered and take control and make some changes and drive forward.
Yes, because we can. There are things that happen to us in life that it's going to be always a continuous time of going into new territories. 27 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. As I talk to you now, I've been dealing with fourth stage cancer from that time now. They predicted that I probably will have 8 or 9 months. It's been 27 years. I'll never forget what the oncologist said. I said, can you give me a second opinion? You said, I have prostate cancer, it's metastasized in 7 areas. He said, yes. I said, give me a second opinion. He said, you're ugly. I said, you did not call me ugly, did you? Yes, you're ugly. You're ugly as hell. And we both started laughing. I said, I can't believe you went there. I can't believe you did that. And then he said, but you got this. You got this. We determine the diagnosis. You and God determines the prognosis. You got this. I'm not going to tell you that you're terminal. He said, my job is to let you know my knowledge, my abilities has terminated when they're terminally ill. They should say my ability to help is terminated. Now you need to explore some other options. And I learned something from that. And when I speak, I laugh a lot. Why? Because when you laugh, the mind shuts down, but the heart opens up. And when he said, you got this, I felt that in my heart. And I laugh all during my presentation, because I want people to know that you've got this thing called life. It's not easy, but it's possible. And it's necessary that you're willing to do the work. And it's you, and it's hard, and it's worth it.
Les, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And I think that positive message is one that is really timely. Thanks very much for spending some time with us.
I appreciate you and the calling on your life that you have answered, and the lives that you have transformed, people that you'll never meet. I feel honored to be in your presence, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Good to speak with you. Keep safe.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. You too. And next, we'll talk to Dr. Willie Jolly. Willie Jolly, great to have you with us, and thank you very much for spending some time. I want to ask you a direct question here. You were replaced by a karaoke machine. What did you learn from that?
Well, first, I want to thank you for letting me be a part of your broadcast and getting a moment to speak to you and your audience. And I always start the same way. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me and you to use it. So I want to make sure we use this time greatly. And so I say to all your listeners, good eye, mate, and good on you, mate. So my story is I was a nightclub singer, singing in nightclubs for many years, winning awards as best jazz singer, best entertainer, and so forth. You can see one of those awards up there, up in the corner with that record. And it was going great. I'd bought a new house, had a new sports car, went into the nightclub one night, and a club owner said, I want to talk to you after the night show. And I told the guys in the band, they want to talk. We've been selling out for 6 months. We got standing room only audiences. We're about to get a raise. And when I went in that night, the guy said, we love you, but we found something cheaper than a band. We love your band. You're filling us up, but there's something cheaper, and we want to get a better return on investment. There's something else that's filling up nightclubs that's a lot cheaper than a band. we bought a karaoke machine. And I was doing a karaoke craze. And I didn't know what to do. I said, what am I going to do with my life? All I knew to do was be a singer. But a friend of mine did something big for me. He gave me a motivational tape and a motivational book. That tape changed my thinking, and that book changed my life. It was called Think and Grow Rich. And I read that book, and it changed everything because I started thinking about new ideas. I took a job with the Washington, D.C. public school system as a drug prevention coordinator, talking to little kids about staying away from drugs. And it was during that year I started giving speeches. And during those speeches, things started happening. Teachers would say, can you come to my teacher's group? And then someone at the teacher's group, can you come to my church? And someone at the church, can you come to my company? And then things started growing. And then less Brown, the great motivational speaker, heard me speak at an event and invited me to be on tour with him and Gladys Knight. And that allowed me to get a little interest in introductions to radio and media people. I got a little radio show. It got popular, got syndicated. It changed from just daily radio to Sirius XM, the biggest satellite radio company in the country. And then my show went on to be the number one self-help show, continues to be. Because of the radio, a book publisher heard me and invited me to write a book called It Only Takes a Minute to Change a Life. The book became a national bestseller. Then another book followed that. A Setback as a Setup for a Comeback came a global bestseller, then turned Setbacks into Greenbacks, came a global bestseller, then An Attitude of Excellence grew even more, then our new book, Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, with my wife, a marriage book, and then in 1999, I was named one of the top five speakers in the world because I got fired and replaced by a karaoke machine. So I say to people that a setback is really nothing but a setup for a comeback. The difference between those who win and those who lose is not that no one, those don't have setbacks or challenges, it's what they do about it and what kind of mindset they have. And that's why I now make my living going around the world telling people that they can change their situation, change their circumstances by changing their thinking and changing their mindset. And that's why I'm going to be doing this weekend in Australia at the Get Motivated, Get Wealthy seminar.
Right. So you're really talking about something really important here. And I think in the current context with COVID and all the issues and uncertainties that people face, there's an attitude of mind question at the heart of it, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, as we think, so shall we be. And as we think and as we are, what we become is what we will do. And all of that starts with your thinking. And so I have made a point to talk to people about how to transform your life by transform your thinking. You know, my background is in theology. I love, there's a scripture that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't just think like everybody else thinks. Renew your thinking. Don't just be normal, be extraordinary by your thinking. And so when you change your thinking, you really do change your life. Now, how do you change your thinking? Well, it's a couple of things. One is what you read, what you listen to, and then who you hang around with. Those are critical parts of your success, because who you hang around with is who you're going to become. What you read will influence how you think. I like to say to people, when you read a book, what you do is a brain transplant. From somebody who might have taken a year or 2 years to write a book, you've transplanted their brain into your brain, and it might take you just a week to do that, or a couple of days, depending on how fast you read. What you listen to. My friend Charlie Tremendous Jones used to say it like this. In 5 years, you'll be the same person you are today, except for two things. The people you meet who inspire you, and you can meet them live or by Memorex, or today by CD or stream or podcast. The people you meet who inspire you, and the books you read that empower you, they will change your future. And that's what happened to me. It was those books and those audios that changed my life from a broke, busted nightclub singer to starting to speak and to be named then 10 years later, one of the top five speakers in the world, and then to be inducted in the Speaker Hall of Fame, all because I changed my inputs. Write this one down, folks. Inputs determine outputs. Garbage in, garbage out. Good stuff in, good stuff out. So make a point to invest in your thinking and in your input, and it'll change your output, and it'll change your life.
Right. So what you're really saying there is there are lots of potential influence sources. Be choosy and be, you know, cautious but careful, and also go for those that may actually push you into uncomfortable areas or new areas, or, you know, may even question your fundamental thinking.
Well, you know, most of our fundamental thinking, it comes from our parents. That's basically, your parents will impress upon you certain thinking. And then there's what we call impressed learning, that there's people who will impress upon you thinking. And then there's impacted and imprinted learning. Now, you come to life imprinted with two things you know. You come imprinted with the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Psychologists have proven there are only two innate fears, fear of learning, fear of falling, and the fear of loud noises. That's imprinted upon you when you get here. Then you're impressed by your parents and your teachers. Now, what happens if you get negative parents who tell you that money isn't important, or that money is the root of all evil? Where it's not, that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But they impress upon you all of these things. You don't need money. Just be happy. You know, all those kinds of things. And then finally, though, it's impactful learning. That's where it really takes off. It's the impactful learning, the people you meet who inspire you, the books you read that empower you. That impactful learning is what changed my life. It was those books and the people I met who inspired me and said, that old thinking that you were born to just be mediocre, that you were just born to just get a job and make a, you know, do a 40-40-40 plan, make $40,000 a year for 40 years so that you can have 40 years of retirement and live on 40% of what you couldn't live on before. No, that 40-40-40 plan does not work. Don't get a job. Go get a career or start a business. Get over just a job. And I started hearing this impactful thinking, and people said, you could be wealthy. I could be wealthy? Me? Yeah. From where you came from? Yes. Really? That impactful thinking is what changed my life. So you get imprinted, you get impressed, or you can get impacted. You're going to get all of them over your lifetime. I'm encouraging you to look for the impact. And sometimes you got to pay for that impact. You got to go to places where you pay. And let me tell you, I invested years ago into a seminar that changed my life. And then I tell the story of my friend Dave Martin. Dave Martin was a big old guy, what we call a good old boy, who was pretty, you know, just making it along, hanging around. He didn't have much money. And he heard about this seminar, like the one that we're going to do on Sunday, called the Get Motivated Seminar, that was coming through his city. He and his buddy said, hey, we can get, they got some cheap tickets. So he got the cheapest tickets. He sat up in the top row. And one of the speakers came out and talked about becoming wealthy. And he was clued in. They were taking notes. The guy said, I wish I could have more time. My time is up, but I got so much more to give you. I got hours and hours of content to give you. If you would just invest in yourself. He said, look, come on down here. I got a package. It's $1,500. So they went down to look at the package, but neither one of them. Dave said he only had $1,540 in his bank account. And so he looked at it, and the guy looked at it and said, oh, let's go, man. He said, Dave said, no, I got to look a little more. And then Dave said, you know what? He pulled out his checkbook. He said, you're going to buy this stuff? He said, yeah. But you said you only have $1,540. I know. You think this stuff is worth $1,500? Dave said, I don't know. But I'm worth it. I'm worth it. He invested that $1,500 in those materials. And then he went home and invested time in going through the materials. He didn't have what we call shelf help. He had self-help. Shelf help is stuff you put on a shelf and you let it sit there for a long time. He went to work. Every day he studied. He went through the materials. He read the books. He listened to the audios. He looked at the DVDs, and things started changing. Well, today, Dave Martin was able to become a multimillionaire because of that investment. He has a home in Phoenix, Arizona, a home in Miami, Florida, and a jet to take him between both places. And he said that day was the day that changed my life, the impact I got from that day. So you got to invest time and money into your success, and that's worth it. I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars, the resources, my books. I got books all over the place. I haven't read all of the books. But I'm willing to invest because I know that one book and one line and one idea out of that book might be all I need become all I can be.
So it's very interesting what you're saying, because it seems to me that there are two important observations. The first is, one, recognize that you can change and you can make changes, right?
Yep.
And secondly, you start making changes by taking one step and then another step, right? You don't actually have to sort of say, I'm going to be there in 20 years. You know, it's one step at a time, isn't it? So I guess the question is, what's that first step?
You know, in my book, It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life, people have asked me over the years, can you really change your life in a minute? Absolutely. The minute you make a decision, that's the first step, and move in a new direction is the minute you change your life. You might not reach your destination in a minute, but you certainly can make that decision and move in a minute. The first step is decide. Once you make up your mind, everything changes. Nothing is more powerful than a made up mind. This is it. I'm going to change my life. I'm tired of where I've been. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of not having resources. I'm tired of making excuses why my kids can't go to school and college or university, as you call it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to change my life. And the minute you make that decision and move, okay, that's very important. Two little birds sitting on a telephone wire. One of them decides to fly away. How many little birds you got left? Two. What? Yeah, until you make an action step, until you act on your decision, nothing happens. So it was not till I decided and then made an action that everything changed in my life. And that is why I'm saying to all of my friends there on Down Under, to make a decision and act on those decisions, and the rest of your life will start to come to bear and come to fore. And when we start by asking you to come and join us this Sunday at the Get Motivated, Get Wealthy seminar, and you can get that at getmotivatedgetwealthy.com.au, come and join us. It's free, okay? F-R-E-E. And so come on. You can't beat free, but more importantly, it's the investment of time that you must be willing to make. And that investment of time is what's going to make the difference. And I'm grateful that I get to do this all over the world now. Now, I don't do it right now all over the world because I'm going to be coming to you via live stream because of something called a pandemic. Anybody ever heard of that? It's a pandemic. But we are in a challenging time or interesting time. We got a pandemic, once in a century pandemic. We got an economic downturn because of the pandemic. We have massive job losses because of the economic downturn. And then we have racial strife in America, which has created a social upheaval around the world. All of it's happening at the same time. Crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. But interesting, John F. Kennedy, American president, said something very interesting. He said that the word crisis is a unique, incredible, unique word because it has dual meaning that seem completely opposite. On one hand, it means great danger. But at the same time, on the other hand, it has great opportunity. In the midst of this challenging time, there are great opportunities. And it's those who have the right mindset, to say, okay, I'm not going to sit back and whine and cry about the situation. I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to pivot now and look for the opportunities. Remember that out of great challenge came great opportunities. In the book Think and Grow Rich, it says, wherever there's a great adversity, at the same moment, there's a great opportunity. The seed for a great opportunity. You just got to look for it. Now, Disney, Walt Disney, we all know about Walt Disney. Walt Disney started with a cartoon about a little mouse named Mickey. And it happened in the midst of the Great Depression. Out of a challenge, he saw an opportunity. In my book, Turn Setbacks into Greenbacks, I love the story about the man named Cullen. Cullen was in the midst of the Depression. And in the midst of the Depression, Cullen said, people are looking for a way to feel like they got hope. So he created a game called Monopoly in the midst of the Depression, and it became a multi-million seller because people wanted to feel a little bit of being rich. And so it's an opportunity right now, even in the midst of the crisis. And I want to encourage people and inspire people to join us so we can help you to get a mindset that says, this is going to be the best year of my life. Even while I'm isolated, even while I'm in this pandemic, even while my city might be shut down, this is my time. One of the things I did, Martin, is to record a music video called We'll Get Through This. During our time when I was stuck in the house, the first 6 weeks in Washington, it was almost illegal to leave your home. They said you cannot leave unless you're going to the grocery store for nothing else, or you'll get fined. And so I stayed in the house, and I recorded and released a music video of a song called We'll Get Through This. And I put it out, and it exploded on the internet. And I encourage people to go to winwithwilly.com, and you can see it, winwithwilly.com. And so many people around the globe have said it's encouraged them, inspired them in the midst of tough times. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage you, inspire you, uplift you, empower you that, you know what? Yeah, these are tough times. You know what? Some people have lost their job, but there's a big but. This could be your best year ever. It starts with your thinking.
Willie, I appreciate your time today, and I think that message is just so important, particularly in the current uncertainties, because people can take control, they can make decisions, and those decisions can have very significant and positive outcomes, can't they?
Oh, man, absolutely. They'll change everything. It's the decision. Most people are afraid to decide. Now, decision, if you just look at the word decision, it's taken from the Greek word to cut. Now, you make an incision, you cut in. You make a decision, you cut off. There are going to be some people, some places, some things you got to cut off. You got to cut off some of the options of doing and waiting for things to be perfect. You can't wait for things to be perfect. You must move and be willing to fail in order to succeed. Most people know about Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. Michael Jordan was cut from his ninth grade basketball team, but he decided that he was going to prove to the coach that the coach had made a mistake. And he started dreaming about doing an impossible thing with the basketball. And then he started trying it and started achieving some of those dreams and went on to become one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He said that talent is God-given, but ability takes work. And that work must be decision plus action, and do it now.
Willie, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. We'll put a link to the seminar, we say, free, this coming Sunday, and highly recommended. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Let me give you also a free gift, please, if you'll go to wjspeaks.com/gift. wjspeaks.com/gift. You get that book that changed my life. I'll give it to you in a digital form. And if you want some of my books and resources, you go to wjspeaks.com/success. So any of those will work. wjspeaks.com/gift, and you get the free book, and wjspeaks.com/success, and you can get a digital version of all my books downloaded right to your computer. You don't have to do anything but just read them and change your life.
Willie, take care. Thank you very much. Great to talk with you.
Have a great day. I'll look to see you soon.
See ya. Thanks, bye. So there you have it. Both speakers underscore the fact that it's all in the mind. Attitude drives outcomes and behaviours. Get the mind right, everything else follows. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.